everyone. My name is Anya Reed. I'm from the University of British Columbia. And today I'll be presenting on a topic that focuses on seeing if we can use soil properties to help explain some of this variability we're seeing between sites in the response of tree health and growth to organic matter removal. So I used 6 lodgepole pine sites in British Columbia. They're a little bit further north than the ones that Debbie was talking about earlier, and they're much colder and slower growing than some of the other sites we've been talking about today. So I'd like to acknowledge the co-authors of this work, Cindy Prescott and Sue Grayson at the University of British Columbia, and Bill Chapman and Marty Kranevitter at the Ministry of Forest, Lands, and Natural Resource Operations in British Columbia, as well as all the LTSP organizers and collaborators throughout North America. So the long-term soil productivity, as you've heard before, is a collaborative project throughout North America that has approximately 120 sites with standardized treatments of organic matter removal and soil compaction. And the objective of this project was to evaluate the long-term effects of these treatments on productivity to help develop monitoring tools to foster sustainable forestry practices. So the treatments, there's 9 treatments. They're about 40 meters by 70 meter plots, and most of the sites have 2 tree species planted. That you can see the 2 different colors there. In this example, you have lodgepole pine is this darker color, and this is spruce in the lighter color. And then you have 9 treatments with this 2 species block. And for this presentation, I'm just going to be focusing on lodgepole pine because it was planted at all the sites. So it allowed me to compare between the sites. The organic matter removal treatments are bole-only harvesting, whole tree harvesting, and forest floor removal, in addition to all above-ground biomass removal, which is depicted in this little diagram. And then you have different amounts of organic matter retained within these treatment plots. So we've heard about these. I won't go into detail on these, and they are meant to have or sort of cover a range of different organic matter removal types, a pretty extreme one, and the least amount of organic matter removal. So far on the LTSP site, we found that the effects of organic matter removal on tree growth has varied among the sites, and so this was unexpected. We expected at the beginning that we would see consistent treatment effects, and these treatments would have a fairly large effect on stand productivity. But this sort of posed a very interesting question of, is there any soil or other sort of site variables that might be explaining some of this variability that we could use as indicators for site sensitivity to biomass harvesting? And so there has been quite a bit of work on this, or some work on this, and indeed climate and soil variables have been related to some of this variability. So microclimate, soil carbon, base cations, soil phosphorus in boreal and temperate forests have been found to be related to this variability among sites. And then a meta-analysis done in 2012 also found that soil pH, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium were related to variable response of whole tree harvesting. And these are just looking at response variables of tree growth. So recently, I looked at measuring forest health on 6 LTSP sites in British Columbia. And forest health hasn't been a primary measure on the LTSP sites. But I was interested in looking at forest health because it affects productivity in addition to growth. So productivity is both a measure of biomass accumulation and loss. So we didn't really have that loss piece, what was causing loss of productivity on our sites. So I wanted to look at forest health. And I mostly found foliar disease, western gall rust, which is a stem rust, and root disease were the main ones that I found at all the sites. There was also insects that were present, but those varied more among my sites. And I found, though, that treatment, any treatment effects that I could detect did vary among sites, same as we find with growth, that we have variable site or variable responses between the sites. But it's still unknown whether this variability might relate to the same climate and soil indicators that we know are indicators of site sensitivity for tree growth. So that led me to my question that I wanted to show for this talk is just, are some of these site-dependent effects of organic matter removal on tree health related to these soil and chemical properties? So pretty simple question. This is sort of the last part of my research project for my PhD. And these are the six sites. We have three sites in the subboreal spruce zone, which is that blue zone up here. And these sites are spread out quite far from each other. Just to give you an idea, to drive from this site is about 3 hours. And then to drive from here to here is actually about 5 hours. And then the three more southern sites are in the interior Douglas fir site ecosystem zone, and they're much closer together, so they have less variability in their site characteristics. Just to give you an idea of what these forests look like, the last presentation said that you had trees that were 9 years old. I think we're getting the same size as our trees that were about 20 years old. So the tallest tree I have is about 10 meters, and that's a 20-year-old tree. So much smaller stands than some of you guys are working with in pine down south. So this is a 20-year stand, and here's Chuck Balmer standing in one of the 15-year-old lodgepole pine stands. So you can see our trees grow a little bit slower than some of the other areas. And to give you an idea of the soil and climate, so we have silty loams to clay loam soil textures. In the north, that's the wettest site with 738 millimeters of mean annual precipitation. We have a glade humulferic podzol, and it's pretty cold. 2.7 degrees Celsius mean annual temperature. Then we get into some more luvisols, intermediate precipitation, and it gets much warmer and drier in the southern sites with a brunosolic gray luvisol. So I was most interested in health, but I also wanted to use variables of growth just to check to see if some of the findings from previous work were also happening here at our sites. So I used two measures for indicating growth, height and volume. And then for health, I used metrics of overall healthy vigor, and that was based on a classification system of 1 to 5, where if a tree was in class 1, it had healthy vigor, vigorous growth, no major damage from any pests or diseases, and then it went down poor, fair, and then dead or dying. And so I used sort of the two ends of that spectrum, healthy vigor and then survival, as my measures of health. And then I took the response ratio of those four measures, which is just the treatment divided by a reference, and in this case, the reference is the bowl-only harvesting plot with the least amount of organic matter removal, and then the treatments are the whole tree harvest and forest floor removal plots where you do have additional levels of organic matter removal. And so this measure gives you a value around 1, usually it's 0 to 2, so anything above 1 indicates that treatment, the whole tree harvest or forest floor removal treatment, increases that measure, so it could increase height or increase vigor or health, whereas values less than 1 indicate that the treatment reduced that measure. For soil and climate properties used in this model, I used mean annual temperature and precipitation. I used pH of the mineral soil, and I used total soil carbon, mineralizable nitrogen, phosphorus, and calcium in both the forest floor and the mineral soil, so I wanted to get an idea of what was in the whole soil profile. And the mineral soil in this case, we sampled 0 to 20. I also included relative amounts of ectomycorrhizae in the forest floor and mineral soil, and that was from a previous study by Hartman in the same sites, same plots, and I added that because I know it's has important effects on tree health. So for the data analysis, I just did a redundancy analysis. Basically, you can have multiple Y values and multiple X values. I just looked at my growth response variables, this case height and volume, and their response to forest floor removal, and then my climate and soil variables. And I found that growth response to whole tree harvest was related to mean annual temperature, soil pH, total soil carbon, and the growth response to forest floor removal was related to mineralizable nitrogen, and the health response to forest floor removal was related to nitrogen and phosphorus. So for this presentation, I'm just going to focus on carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus, but both growth and health. So this is a graph. This is just a pure X by Y regression, and I like these because they're easier to interpret the data. As a field ecologist, I like looking at the actual data. Those big RDA ordinations are interesting, but I wanted to try to interpret if there were thresholds in this data and which sites were driving the trends. So on the y-axis, I have the response of tree height to whole tree harvesting, and the dashed line is at 1, so above that, tree height was increased and below, tree height was reduced by the treatments, in this case, the whole tree harvest treatment. And then we have total soil carbon on the x-axis. And so this finding supports previous work that showed that carbon-poor soils might be the more sensitive ones, but after a point, you get less of an effect. And one of the proposed mechanisms for this was water holding capacity, and we've heard that previously, that water holding capacity can be important if there was a drought or on drier sites. And there might be a threshold in the amount of carbon that you might need for this mechanism. And then this is health, my measure of overall vigor in response to forest floor removal and total soil phosphorus on the x-axis. And so this phosphorus is known to be an indicator of tree growth, but this extends that to also being an important measure for tree health. And there is literature suggesting that phosphorus is an important compound for plants in their defense against pathogens and diseases. So that could be an interesting mechanism to potentially pursue. And then for nitrogen, this is height response to forest floor removal and nitrogen. This trend was driven primarily by these two plots up here. And when I removed those plots, this was no longer significant. So I'm a little bit wary about this result, and I would like more. It'd be nice to have more sites or more data points on this sort of high soil nitrogen range before I make any conclusions about this. And for vigor, we have a negative response. And this is interesting. It's interesting that it's opposite to growth, but it's also interesting because we generally think of nitrogen as, the limiting soil nutrient that we want to fertilize and increase nitrogen. But this result suggests that if you have a lot of nitrogen, it could make the trees more susceptible to disease or overall loss of vigor. And this is actually fairly well known, well, maybe not fairly well known, but was found. There was another paper that did a meta-analysis in Europe, And they found also that increased nitrogen availability generally had a negative effect on tree health, even under nitrogen limiting conditions. So in summary, I just wanted to show the summary slide. So you have soil carbon generally increases the resiliency of tree growth to whole tree harvest. This is using Holling's sort of original definition of resilience as the ability of a system to recover after disturbance. And then soil phosphorus might increase the resiliency of health but reduce, and nitrogen might reduce the resiliency of health. So this work strengthens the potential links between treatment response variability and inherent soil properties and highlights that consistent and homogeneous response across the forest landscape is really rare for forest health and forest growth or tree growth. And I'd be interesting to look at more sites and see if some of these relationships between health and soil properties were extended in other sites. That's it. Yeah, so it is mineralizable nitrogen, but it's total in terms of it's in the forest floor and the mineral soil. So it's the total soil mineralizable N. Yeah.